I don't know if you have one of these things or not, but I suspect you probably do. Sometimes I think they're a blessing. Most of the time, I am not entirely sure it's not part of the fall and the curse. What do you think? I was talking on this the other day to my friend John Casper. Some of you know John because he used to pastor just down the road, and he was traveling, and about every 3 minutes he'd say, "Can you hear me now? Can you hear me?" And then he'd get disconnected, and we'd have to do it again. And you remember those television commercials, the guy who was testing the phone here, there, and yonder, "Can you hear me now?" I got to tell you, he did not check it at my house. He definitely did not check it, because I can't hear at my house. Sometimes it's better if I go out in the driveway. Sometimes that gets a little bit old. Excuse me. Jim Rolfe, it said, missed call. I'll give you a ring right back, Jim. Can you feel it ringing right now? Yeah. Missed call. The question...
And so it is. You can't have a clear thought with that phone ringing.
That's it. That's why I turned the volume down. I didn't want to hear it. Can you hear me now? But the question is, I wonder if God is ever up there in heaven saying, "Can you hear me now? Can you?" I'm trying to speak to you every day, but the breakthroughs are pretty slow. Do you hear God's voice now? Even the disciples had trouble hearing God's voice, even though they were standing right next to Jesus. They still had trouble hearing. Jesus says in John 10, verse 27, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." In Mark chapter 3, verse 23, he says, "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Someone told me just a minute ago, one of their hearing aids is out. They're not hearing much at all, for which I said, "Then go ahead and sleep. Maybe God will lay a good dream on you. You'll wake up and you'll have the wisdom of God himself." So, you know, if anyone has ears, do you ever think, isn't that a funny statement? If anyone has ears, we all have two of them. If you got any of those. And it says in John chapter 5, verse 25, "A time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." And what he's really saying is it's not just the physically dead, it is the spiritually dead. The time is coming when they are going to hear. One of my favorite verses I learned very early on in my Christian life, Revelation 3:20. I bet some of you know exactly what I'm talking about when I say that. "I stand at the door and knock," Jesus says, "if anyone hears my voice and opens the door." If anybody hears, "I will come in with him and he with me." It's as if Jesus is saying, "Can you hear me now?" And so we're looking at our fifth soul shift, and if we want to grow into the image of Christ, we need to hear what God has to say to us every day, and we need to shift from ask to listen. You know, it's possible not to hear the phone ringing because we turn the volume down, isn't it, Jim? Yes. It is also possible that we hear the phone ringing, we check out the caller ID, and we say, "I'm not going to deal with you at this moment." I sometimes wonder when people don't pick up the phone if that's not what they're saying to me, but that's another story. Or maybe we want to hear from him, we just have trouble understanding what he might be saying. Today is about how to hear the ring, how to pick up the phone, how to discern what God is saying. And And if you look at the Gospel of Mark, it is all about listening. We've been following Jesus. Actually, we've been following the disciples as they are following Jesus and they are heading on the road to Jerusalem. And it says in Mark chapter 3, or 4, verse 3, Jesus tells a parable. And here's how it starts. Listen, he said. Listen. A farmer went out to sow seeds. And he scattered some, and then he describes four kinds of soil, and he ends the parable simply by saying, he who has ears, let him hear. Let him hear. And a few verses later, he describes to the disciples exactly what he means, because they don't seem to have ears, they don't seem to hear, and the whole parable really is about hearing and listening. And in fact, the whole Gospel of Mark is really about hearing and listening, because we can only know him to the extent that we listen. There's a very interesting story that takes place not long before the week Jesus heads to the cross. He is already walking along the way. He's walking along the way from the Galilee area up to Jerusalem, and it is a long walk, it is a tough walk, and along the way he spends a lot of time with his disciples. And it says this in Mark chapter 9, verse 2, it says, after 6 days Jesus took Peter and James and John with him, and he led them up to a high mountain where they were all alone. I think we have a picture of a mountain. There it is. I hope you can see it. That is Mount Tabor. I was there just a few weeks back, and what you can't see is there's a couple buildings on top of the mountain, a couple buildings, because there are two different churches that claim the exact spot Jesus was transfigured before them, and they're separated by a little bit of wooded area. But there's two different places, and it was great going up there, but it was hard to get there, because the road was so steep, the curves so sharp, the bus couldn't go, so we had to get off the bus and take taxi rides to the top. And let me tell you, those drivers were pretty scary. But the road just winded, and maybe it doesn't look that tall to you. I mean, we're used to seeing the Rockies, but when you are on foot, all the rest of those buildings weren't there. That is the ultimate wilderness, and you are going to a far away place. And so after 6 days, Jesus took Peter and James and John, and they went to this place. That is Mount Tabor. Some scholars would tell you it was Mount Hermon, you know. And even if you get up to the top of Mount Tabor, like I say, they can't make up their minds, so there's two different shrines to the Transfiguration at the same time. It says, there he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. And I love this. And Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. I was thinking of those words when I was standing up on top of that mountain. Peter's blabbing out, good for us to be here. Let's just, you know, let's put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Maybe we could just hang out for a while. It's good to be here. And then it says in verse 6, this is my favorite verse, he did not know what to say. They were so frightened. He didn't know what to say, so he just blabbed something out. Do you ever do that? It's the story of my life, I think. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud. This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him. And suddenly, when they looked around, there was no one else with them except for Jesus. This is my son who I love. Listen to him. It is a fascinating little story. He takes Peter and James and John with him, and they witness these two prophets from days gone by, and they're speaking, and all of a sudden they're in the fog, and the fog lifts, and there's no one there, and they hear the voice of God saying, "This is my son, listen to him." It's interesting, isn't it, I think, that after 2 years with Jesus, God still needs to say, "Listen to him." They've been walking with him the whole time, but they hadn't really yet listened. And so God says, "Listen to him." And the question is, as a follower of Jesus, do you consider yourself a disciple? And if you do, you got to learn to listen. You got to learn to listen. And there is so much noise. You know, in our culture, we are easily satisfied with asking. And asking changed about 15 or 20 years ago. When we'd want to answer to something starting 15 or 20 years ago, we go to Google and we ask the question, "What is the biggest trout ever caught?" You know? Who's the prettiest person on earth? Who's the president of the United States? Whatever the question. And you'd go and you'd ask Google or Wikipedia or answers.com or something like that. And now it's a little different. Now it's Siri, order me a pizza, right? Or Siri, who won the basketball game last night? Or whatever. And we've become very, very good at asking. But what's interesting to me is the same time those search engines came out that allegedly give us all the answers, there began to be a shift in how people thought of this book. The answers now come from technology for many instead of from this book. I mean, you can see it statistically. The studies show it shifted at that point. It's fascinating, I think. And we kind of learn, like, information is king. Information is king, and we sort of look at the things we're interested in and the other things we're not interested in. We just sort of blow by, and here's the bad thing. We do the same thing with Scripture. God speak to me in the other parts of the Bible. They might not be as relevant. And we need to learn to look at all the parts of the Bible, because if they're interesting to God, they ought to be interesting to us, you know. We need the whole story. When I was younger, especially in ministry, I used to ask a lot of questions. Probably when God wanted me to listen, something would occur within my congregation and I wouldn't know what to do about it. And I'd say, "You wouldn't believe it, but somebody got annoyed with me the other day. I'm not quite sure how to deal with that." I was actually fairly shocked the first time someone got annoyed with me when I was their pastor. Now it just seems normal. But I don't know how to deal with it. And I would call and I would ask questions, and maybe what God wanted me to do is not so much ask, but listen. And as I get older, people call and ask me questions. Isn't that interesting? I have a couple people in my family, though, they call and ask me for advice. I don't know if this happens to you. They've already made up their mind what they're going to do. But they call me and want my advice, and I better advise them in the direction that they have already chosen. Or they will debate with me as to what the answer really is. And I sometimes feel like when those two folks call, I sometimes feel like saying, when they ask my advice, "What advice would you like me to give you?" You know? Let's just cut to the chase. But we've mastered the art of asking. We ask preachers and authors and friends and therapists what God wants us to do, but the question is, have we learned to listen? And there's a big difference. When we ask, we're talking, so our minds are busy. When we listen, we are not talking, so our minds are passive and open to new direction. When we ask, we want to know something, so our interests are confined to the things we want to know. But when we listen, we want to know what God tells us, much, much broader. When we ask, we expect an answer, and we want it to be clear and practical. But when we listen, we are not in control of the one who is talking. We're not sure when the answer will come, but it will come. I'm absolutely convinced if we will seek God, we will find the answers to the questions that we ask, sometimes not immediately, however. Ever get tired of waiting? Sometimes not immediately. When we ask the relationship with the one speaking, when we ask the relationship with God, for instance, is just kind of on the edge. But when we really value to know God's will, we listen, and our relationship with Him gets deeper. Asking is so important. If you want to ask God for anything, sometimes you got to get alone. You got to get quiet. I know people who are quite good at contemplation who will say you have to be alone at least one day out of the month with no technology, just you and the Bible. And how many of you are depressed when you're alone? I can be alone for like 4 minutes. And then, you know, I was sent on a sabbatical once many years ago. The first week it was fun to rest. The second week I began to try to figure out what was going on. By the third week I was completely depressed and my wife wanted me to go home. Please, get out of here, honey. I'm trying to rest too and you're in my way, you know. But sometimes you just need to get alone. We need to grab the Bible. We need to listen to God, you know. What are we supposed to do? You know, in a pastor's life, it's interesting, especially in our current Methodist system, someone calls and says, just want you to know you're going to get a call from a district superintendent from another district. They're going to talk to you about a new opportunity. And the district superintendent calls and says, you know, we have discerned that God wants you to pastor in such and such a place. And they tell us all about the place. Well, all that they think they know about the place. Seldom is the information actually very accurate. And then they say, we're going to give you 24 hours to think about it. What they're really saying is you have 24 hours to say yes. That really is what they're saying. But nonetheless, when those calls come, I mean, you really begin to say, okay, God, what do you want to tell me? You know, do you ever wish God would just speak a big message on a billboard, you know? Yeah. Scott, go to the store. Or, you know, Scott, do this. Scott, do that. Scott, talk to that person. You know, you ever wish you get an email from God? Just directions, you know? Directions. Well, I want to tell you, you have all kinds of directions. They're available to you right now. All you got to do is open the book and read the directions because the book is right there. But I love that God speaks to us in a much more personal way than email. He nudges us along. But there are three keys to listening I want to look at really quick. The first one is hearing God's voice is a learned behavior. It is. People might think if God were speaking to me, I'd know it, but that may or may not be the case. We might misunderstand what God has to say. The Bible teaches us two things that are true. Number one, normal and psychologically healthy people do hear from God. So if you're one of those people who have been hearing voices, maybe that's okay. Okay. And number two, it takes some time and training to learn how to hear God's voices. What if God would speak directly to your mind? What if you would have insight directly from God? Do you ever wonder about something and then think to yourself, I wonder if God's trying to tell me something here? I wonder. I love the story from the Old Testament in 1 Samuel. Samuel is just a little kid. Well, how little he is, scholars debate. Maybe he's 10, maybe he's 12, and he's living He's living inside of God's house, and he was dropped off there by his mama who dedicated him to the Lord. And he's living in God's house, and Eli, the priest, is supposed to be taking care of him. And one night he goes to bed, and the Lord calls, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel wakes up and goes to Eli and says, you called? And Eli says, "No, I didn't call. Go back to bed." And a second time, "Samuel, Samuel." And Eli said, "My son, I did not call. Go and lay down." And then it says, this is interesting, "Now Samuel did not know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not been revealed to him yet." He was living in God's house, but he didn't know the Lord. Isn't it interesting? I could preach on that. And then God called Samuel a third time, and Eli realized the Lord was calling the boy. And so Eli said to Samuel, "Next time he calls, just simply say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" What do you do when God calls? You say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Let's say that together. "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Speak. It's just kind of as simple as that, you know. What strikes me is that Samuel has been in the temple all these years, ever since he was weaned, according to the scripture, and he still can't hear. And God speaks to us in little things, in daily things. In daily things. Years ago, I was looking for a lawnmower because our lawnmower had went on to be with Jesus with the help of one of my children as they were mowing things that should not be mowed, like rocks. And I said, and we had very, very little money, and I said, "Lord, I need a lawnmower. And you know I got 25 bucks. and so I was visiting with a friend who was living in Jackson at the time, pastoring, and I went over and visited with him, and when it was time to go back home, I went on some back roads, and I said, "Lord, there must be a solution," and I kept thinking there'd be a yard sale or something like that, and I'm driving by all these places thinking, this isn't the one, and all of a sudden, I hit a spot in the road, and there was a yard sale, and I said, "I wonder if God's got something for me there," and I pull into the driveway, and there was this lawnmower. Almost had a glow around it, you know. Just a holy aura. And I looked and it was brand new. Actually, it was 2 years old. It had only been used once or twice. And I said, "Does it run?" And they said, "I think so." And they said, "Well, why don't you give it a pull?" And one pull, boom, you know, it takes off. And I'm thinking, this is good. And I said, "How much do you want for the lawnmower?" And they said, $10, I mean 15, I mean 20. I said, "Sold," before it got any higher. You know. And I walked out of there with a lawn. God speaks to us in daily stuff. But the question is, are we listening? You know, hearing God's voice is a learned behavior. Second thing is, God can speak to anyone. This ought to bring you much relief. God does not just speak to spiritual superstars, Christian leaders. It's not just Mother Teresa or Billy Graham. He speaks to anyone. There's a famous story, you might or might not know it, from Numbers chapter 22. It's about a prophet named Balaam who he learns the hard way that God can speak through anything. In the story, Balaam goes astray. The prophet gets kind of in the wrong direction, and he heads off to Israel to curse Israel when he is supposed to be heading off to Israel to bless Israel. And he's heading in that direction because he's supposed to bless the nation. And God intervenes and speaks into the situation, but not through Balaam. God speaks through Balaam's donkey. Great story. He's headed off. And he's on the donkey, and he's supposed to be going to Israel, and the stinking thing wouldn't move, you know. Three times he whacks on the donkey to no avail. It just stands there. And talk about insult. God speaks to the prophet, but not through a person. God speaks through the donkey. Fascinating story. The donkey starts speaking. And I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to be a prophet and have a donkey take my job away, you know? But I tell you, most pastors have found that story very, very comforting, because we feel like if God can speak through a donkey, maybe he could speak through me, you know? We find that comforting. But God can speak through anyone. Third thing is, it's a final key, is God's voice has distinguishing characteristics. There's several of them I want to hit really quick. The first one is God's voice will always speak in ways that are consistent with his character. Now, Scripture is clear that God is not frantic or anxious. There's never a verse that says God is worried. God is just not worried, you know. So if you have a thought that is anxious, that is stressful, it is not the voice of God speaking to you, because he will speak peace, he will speak love, he will be loving about it. And when we come to recognize God's promptings in our daily life, we begin to focus on just how God speaks to us, especially in scriptures, and we can read how other people hear his voice. I love the story in Luke 24. You know the story. Jesus has been crucified. Two of the disciples are walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus. He's crucified. I think we better get out of here. It's a long walk. Have you ever just went on a walk when something terribly tragic has just occurred in your life? My phone just dinged. Thank you. When my dad died when I was in college, my mother began to walk. Day after day, she walked mile after mile after mile after mile. She could do nothing. And so they're walking from Jerusalem. Their Savior has just died, to Emmaus. And some guy starts talking to them. And it's actually Jesus. But they don't recognize him. But later they're thinking about their day and remembering all that happened. And one said to the other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us along the road?" And then they thought to themselves, when we were listening and he would talk all during his life, our hearts burned within us. It was just like when wait a minute. I bet that was him talking, and they recognized him. We got to listen all of our life. We can read scripture and see how God speaks then, but our hearts can confirm to us that God is talking, that God is speaking, and we need to recognize in our hearts that God is speaking. A second distinguishing characteristics of God's voice is that his leading will always be consistent with scripture. When people feel led to violate scripture, for instance, it is not really God's leading. You know, if somebody feels led to get romantically involved with someone who is not their wife, they really didn't feel God's leading. When someone feels led to divorce their spouse so they can be with this soulmate, they really are not listening to God's leading. Why would God tell us to do that? Why, when God is telling us that we should keep the marriage vows, you know? I mean, I once knew a pastor. Has anybody ever came up to you and said, "God is telling me you should do such and such"? Anybody ever came up to you and did that? You have? Yeah, I've several times over the years. I have an answer to that. It took me a while. But you know what the answer is? That's fantastic. Thank you for that word. And when God tells me, I'm going to do exactly. If that's what he tells me to do, I'll do it. I once knew a pastor who was in big trouble because his best friend was single. And there was this really pretty younger girl in his church. And he told her that God wanted her to marry his best friend. That didn't go over too well. In fact, it didn't go over at all. If somebody says God wants you to do such and such, God will confirm it to you. Third distinguishing characteristics of God's voice is it will always be consistent with who he made you to be. Ultimately, God made you. So if he's got something he wants you to do, he will have given you tools to be able to do that. He made you. If the inventor is inventing a tool, the tool will work for the job at hand. And so God's call will be consistent with the way he made you. John Ellinger writes, "Do not ask yourself what the world needs. Ask yourself what makes you come alive, because the world needs men and women who have come alive." Who have come alive. When God is speaking to our true heart, it'll make us alive. We'll be so excited about it. Everybody isn't excited about the same thing. I used to get so excited about church camp, I could hardly stand it. I would tell people about what God was doing at church camp, and they would begin to wander away from me. You know? Why was I excited about it? Because that's the way God made me. Final distinguishing characteristics of God's voice is that it is consistent with love. If it is not love, it is not from God. If it is judgmental, it is not from God. If it comes at the expense of someone else, it is not from God. Because God will lead you in a direction of servanthood, of kindness, of love. If it is self-serving, it is not from God. It'll be consistent with love. With love. So the question is, do you spend all your time asking? Trying to get the answers. Can ask everybody in the world. Or do you listen? There's a big difference, listening and asking. Some of us are not very good at listening. You can learn how to do it. I'm going to close this with a story that actually took place during the Depression. You know, nobody had jobs, and this one young man, while he was unemployed, he learned Morse code. And so one day, he saw an ad in a paper from a help wanted ad for a telegraph operator. And being he knew Morse code, he thought, well, maybe. And so he got up and he dressed himself up as best he could, but it wasn't very good because he didn't have very much. And he went to this office, and there's like 10 or 15 guys in line to be interviewed, all dressed up really pretty. And he thought, I got no chance. Why would I even bother? But he just sat there dejected and depressed for a few minutes. And then suddenly his face got bright. He jumped out of his chair, ran into the manager's office, and within 2 minutes, the manager came out and announced, "The job has now been filled. You all can go home." And somebody who'd been there waiting for hours stood up and said, "But wait a minute. This guy just got here. This isn't right. We've been waiting for hours. What did he say that landed him the job?" And the manager said, "It was nothing that he said. It was nothing that he said. But I had been tapping out Morse code on my window for the last 2 hours. And the message was, anyone who understands this message, come in and I will hire you." He was the only one who listened. I wonder what God's tapping out for us, and the question is, are we just listening? Or are we not listening? Which is it? Listen or not listen? I want to give you a couple of moments of quiet, and I want you to ask God to speak his message to you for the day. It seems to take a lot, oh God, to get our attention. Speak. Help us to be listeners. May today be all about listening for your voice, God. As we go through the entire day, may you give us direction. May you help us to listen. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.